Welcome back. The International Conference on AIDS and Sexually Transmitted Disease in Africa, or ICASA, is convening this week in Ethiopia. Over the past few decades, activists and educators worldwide have endeavored to dispel rumors and misinformation about AIDS and people with AIDS. Today, more HIV-positive people can disclose their status without shame or stigma. But there is a downside to those advances. Relaxed attitudes towards HIV may be contributing to a trend of complacency toward the disease, even here in the United States. Shia Levitt reports.
Over the past 30 years, life has improved dramatically for most Americans living with HIV. Thanks to improved access to the latest life-sustaining medicines, some newly diagnosed Americans can expect to have lifespans approaching normal. As more people living with HIV survive longer, some of the fear associated with the disease has started to fade. But here's the tricky part. A healthy fear of HIV may not be that bad a thing. Von Taylor Akutagawa is the executive director of an organization called Gay Men of African Descent in Brooklyn, New York. For the past 24 years, he's worked with people across the country as an HIV educator, counselor, and researcher.
HIV industry and healthcare professionals have done an amazing job in mitigating the fear of diagnosis. If you happen to be diagnosed with HIV, you're not going to die. You can live. On the flip side, people are not as afraid to get HIV, although the stigma still exists and is still very strong. But it gives people an interesting decision to make that I don't want to get HIV, but if I get it, it's not quite as bad, that if I do get it, can be medically managed.
The fear of AIDS has been a strong motivator to use condoms, so diminishing fear about what it means to have HIV and how easily one can get it can translate into less vigilance about safe sex.
I recently had a friend in his 50s come to me and say, I hear that HIV is just one pill once a day now, so I'm going to stop using condoms, right?
That's Mark Milano, a 55-year-old AIDS activist and educator who's been living with HIV for 30 years.
And I said, listen, you are nuts. You have a PhD, you've lived, you've watched everybody die of AIDS. And for you to think that having HIV is just taking one pill a day is crazy. You know, it's a lot more.
First, there's the cost. It can run several $100,000 during a lifetime. Having HIV also increases your risk for a myriad of other infections and health problems, from pneumonia to certain cancers.
There's a lot of negative things about having this disease. It's not like it was in the 80s where you're going to be dead in a few months, but it's still a very difficult disease to live with.
New HIV diagnosis rates among Black and Latino men who have sex with men are now on the rise in the U.S., part of why some health educators are taking dramatic measures to bring the message home. The New York City Health Department's Never Just HIV campaign warned in this public service announcement that if getting HIV itself is not a strong enough motivator to practice safe sex, perhaps other associated diseases might be.
When you get HIV, it's never just HIV. You're at a higher risk to get dozens of diseases even if you take medications, like osteoporosis, a disease that dissolves your bones, and dementia, a condition that causes permanent memory loss. And you're over 28 times more likely to get anal cancer. It's never just HIV. Stay HIV free. Always use a condom.
Globally, there have also been recent resurgences in HIV among other demographics, including men who have sex with men in Western and Central Europe. Bernard Schwartlander of UNAIDS says increased complacency is partially to blame.
20 years ago, people really felt, because they saw their friends dying, also in the north, also in richer countries, they saw their friends dying, which of course was a motivation to discuss these issues. Today, we are in a very different situation. HIV is largely a treatable disease. Younger generations feel less threatened. All of that, of course, plays a role, so that people are less sort of engaged in the response to AIDS.
Also contributing to the complacency is people misinterpreting studies about ways to decrease HIV transmission risk. A recent groundbreaking study by the HIV Prevention Trials Network found that going on HIV meds early could help decrease the amount of the virus in people's blood to undetectable levels and decrease the risk of passing the infection on to others. Again, Mark Milano.
We have to make it very clear to people, this is an exciting result. It does not mean you can take off the condoms. And we do know that people can transmit with undetectable viral load. It happened in the study. So I am concerned that men with HIV who have undetectable viral loads are going to think, I don't need to use a condom anymore, and that is dangerous. You have to keep the condoms on until we find a vaccine, regardless of how controllable HIV is with the meds, regardless of how much transmission has dropped with the meds, the condom, unfortunately, is still the tool we need.
Milano tries to stay abreast of the latest in HIV reduction, as much for his personal life as for his job. Milano's partner of the past 9 years remains HIV negative. He says this has not been a challenge for them. They simply use a condom every time. He hopes others will get the message, too. For Word of Mouth, this is Shia Levitt.
And that's all we have time for today. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to hear about an investigation of Freedom Group. It's a quietly growing giant in the American commercial gun industry. The Freedom Group has already purchased Bushmaster and Remington, and it's set its sights on others. Reporter Natasha Singer looked into the powerful firm behind what is now a weapons stockpile. We'll also hear about Micro. That's the novel started by Michael Crichton before his death in 2008. The book was later picked up by Richard Preston. He's author of a book called The Hot Zone. So we're going to talk with him about picking up the quill of such an acclaimed writer. Until then, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. If you did miss anything on today's show or would like to send something along to a friend, you can visit wordofmouthradio.org, and we welcome your tweets, peeps, and heartbeats about anything you hear on the show at wordofmouthradio.org and Facebook and on Twitter. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please do join us again tomorrow on Word of Mouth here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby, Virginia Prescott,
and Rebecca Lavoie, with oversight and direction
from Abby Goldstein, NHPR's Vice President of Programming,
and web support from Brady Carlson and
Courtney Kenya.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals,
not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters.
For information about the show,
to subscribe to our podcast, post a comment,
or to read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at Word of Mouth. Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.